The invitation song will be number 191. Number 191.
Good morning. Hope everyone's doing well this morning. You had a great week last week. You can probably tell I'm a little bit tan. I just recently went on a fishing trip, and the water is very low, so we dragged quite a bit with the boats. It was a rough river trip this time, but we got through it. We are going to be in the book of Galatians this morning. If you would begin turning there, Galatians chapter 3. Verses 26 through 29 is where we're going to be focused. And what we're going to be talking about this morning is that it's of the utmost importance that we understand how man is a child of God and what it takes to be His child so that we all as His children will be saved in the afterlife. We're going to be doing a lot of scripture diving in this lesson, so I would ask that you would have your Bibles ready and that you'd be ready to turn with me to all the places because I want you to see these things for yourself. I don't want you to just hear me saying them. I want you to actually see them in your scriptures there. So what does it really mean to be a child of God? What does it really mean to be a Christian? What does it require to be a Christian? What does it take? Whenever somebody says, I'm a Christian, whenever somebody says, I'm a child of God, well, how many people say that today? Lots of people say that. The question is, which one actually is a child of God? Are we actually children of God? That's the question we're getting at this morning. That's what we're going to be talking about. So child of God is, of course, said in many different places, from many different people. But then we ask that question, are they really children of God? So the first thing we need to recognize is that the child of God is in Christ. And there's three things that we're going to be talking about. So if you are taking notes and you're categorizing, the first one is the child of God is in Christ. And it does require that one be in Christ to be a child of God. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. Let's read it there. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Continuing on. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. How many times did it say Christ Jesus in that set of verses? It said it in every single verse there. You have to be in Christ to be a child of God. It takes being in Christ. And what does that mean? Well, John chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's turn there now. John chapter 1 and verse 12. John 1:12 says, But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name. And then if you continue on there, we understand how we become born of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So whenever we're in Christ, whenever we receive Christ, what does that mean to receive Christ? Does that mean we just accept Him into our hearts and then we're saved? No. What about John 14:15? We mention it a lot of times. What about doing His commandments? That's what it is to receive Christ. To do His commandments, to obey God's will, that's what it is. To obey the plan of salvation, to actually carry it out, to be baptized here into the water. Why would those people have been baptized in the first century if that wasn't necessary? It's silly, right? It's silly. Baptism is a requirement for salvation. Otherwise, they wouldn't have done it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in the Scriptures. For as many as were baptized were saved. It wouldn't say that if baptism was not essential. The same thing with confession, the same thing with repentance, the same thing with belief. You have to receive Christ in all of these ways. You have to actually carry out things in order to be saved. Why do people have such a hard time with that, we ask? It's that stubborn will to do their own desires, to do what they want to do. That's the thing that we've hit on every single one of these lessons. But man is a child of God in Christ. That's the only way that one can be a child of God. First of all, in Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Something that people have a difficulty in understanding is that the church and the kingdom of God are actually one and the same. They're the same thing. The kingdom of God is right here. Did you know that? We're the kingdom of God right here on earth. Am I talking about this building? No, I'm not talking about the building. This is a building, brethren. This is a building that we use to worship in. Where's the worship taking place? It's in the heart. It's not because of the building. It's not that this building is what's important. The temple of God is us. That's how it is with Christianity today. People get so caught up in the ritualism, the ceremonialism. It has to be in a building. The building is what it's about. It's not about the building. It's about the heart. It's about spirit and in truth. By the heart, with the heart, and by the commandments of God. Don't get so caught up in this building. We would rather meet out in the grass if we had to and worship our God in spirit and in truth. Don't get so caught up in a building. If this building is causing you to stumble, I'd sooner throw this building out. Throw the building out and let's go meet out in the grass. Forget the building. Don't get so caught up in a bunch of wood, in a bunch of stone. That's not what it's about. It's not about a bunch of stone. It's about the heart, about doing the commandments of God with your heart. Don't get so caught up in that. That's the way the Pharisees acted. That's the way that it was for Israel, because that was a different time. That was the Old Testament. That was literally with a physical temple of God. We are the temple of God now. The church is the kingdom of God. We have to understand these things. We have to start looking from a spiritual perspective. That's how it is in Christianity. Don't forget that, Christians. So the church, the kingdom of God, they're one and the same. Conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Which implies the kingdom is whose? Christ. The kingdom is Jesus Christ now. And this was the plan of the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. Let's turn there now. Ephesians 1, 4 through 5. I'd like you to turn there with me. When was this planned? We talked about it in the class this morning. 1, 4 through 5. Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and we without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. So when was this planned? Verse 4. Before the foundation of the world. Do you understand how awesome that is? That's awesome that God actually had it in His mind before He created everything you see around us to send His Son to die for the creation that would transgress Him. That's the kind of love that your God has for you. That my God has for me, to plan to send God Himself, Jesus, to die for His creation. And He knew that before He even made us, that we were going to transgress, that we were going to, all these generations would stumble, that Israel would stumble, that we as Christians would stumble, and that we would need all what? Christ. We would all need Christ. And God knew that beforehand. And He planned before the foundation of the world. How cool is that? How loving is that? What unfathomable love is that? That's beautiful. That's awesome. That's the kind of love that we as Christians try so hard to grasp onto and to hold onto and exemplify. Or we should be. That's the kind of love, the unconditional love that we were talking about this morning. Unconditional prophecies, remember that? Unconditional love. Not that people give love to us so that we can give it in return, but that we give love anyways. That we even love our enemies. Even though they don't love us. That's what it means to be a Christian. That's how Christ acted towards everyone He met. He loved them anyways. Even though they wanted to stone Him. Even though they didn't listen to Him. Even though His brothers even hated Him, His physical brothers. He still loved them. Would you? Would you as a Christian love the world around you? Do you love the world around you right now? What is your love like? God planned these things before the foundation of the world. How awesome. So the question for us this morning is, are we in Christ? Turn to the book of Acts now. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts 4:12. Here's another verse here. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There is no other name. We've referenced this verse before. So you think about all those founders of all these denominations around us. All those guys who say they've had some sort of vision or dream or something to where there's some angel that came before them. By the way, Muhammad also saw an angel, and you know how Islam acts. All these visions, all these dreams, all these things that happened to them, and apparently God told them to do something, and then they're the only ones that received it. No one else did, but they did. And now there's these massive religions started off of them. John Wesley, John Calvin, remember all those guys? All those guys saw some sort of something, and they just started this brand new religion. And it branched off the Church of Christ, if you know your church history, branches off the Church of Christ, becomes a denomination, because it denominates from the Church of Christ. That's what that means. All these denominations, guess where they came from? They came from the Church of Christ. Romans 16:16. The Church of Christ. That's the first century church. That's what we are. They were following the commandments of God exactly, just as we are and as we should be. But those denominations, they went off. They denominated. They didn't want to follow some or all of the commandments there. They wanted to do their own things. And that's how it happens. They open the door. And it starts when you open that door. That's why we have to be careful, Christians. But there's no salvation given in any other name. The man of God, the woman of God, in order to be that today, you have to be in who? You have to be in Christ, in Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other name. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Who said that? That was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word. Remember that? John chapter 1, the Word. That's the same Jesus that you know, that you follow, that died for you. Romans chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. One has to be redeemed by Christ to be justified by God's grace. Read that with me. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that verse. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're not only in sin all the time, but we have that way of being taken out of sin now. We have Jesus. We have a way to be justified freely by His grace through the redemption by who? By Jesus. We can be redeemed now. We can be redeemed from our sins. Whenever you're baptized, Christians, you remember your baptisms, I hope. Whenever we're baptized, guess what happens? You're conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, into the kingdom of God, and then what? Also what? You're forgiven of your sins. You're redeemed of all sins. All sins you've ever done. Some people say that that's the whitest moment. That's the snowiest moment of all of your life as a Christian. When should be the snowiest moment, the most pure moment of your life as a Christian? Should it be whenever you come out of there? Or should it be all the time? It should be all the time, right? It should be to the best of your ability. It shouldn't just be here, whenever you come up out of that watery grave. It should be all the time. It should be that striving to be perfect like God all the time. Because Jesus' blood washes us continuously. We don't sit with sin all the time. We're going to mess up. We're going to sin. But that doesn't stay with us. We're forgiven when we ask for forgiveness. So we should always be trying to be that whitest and purest thing that we can be all the time. And of course, Jesus' blood is what washes us of that. So we see that constant reaffirmation. We have to be in Christ. We have to be redeemed by Jesus Christ. It's only through Him. So the child of God as well is a true Christian. And I say that true with emphasis because how many people say that they're Christians? Everyone says they're Christians, right? In the United States, that's the main religion for the most part. Everyone says, I'm a Christian. You go to Walmart, you say to any one of these people here, I'm a Christian. What denomination are you from? I say, well, I'm not a denomination. We're the Church of Christ. We're the first century church. We're the church you read about in the Scriptures. Well, I'm from the Baptist. I'm from the Methodist. No. The first century church, that's what it is to follow the commandments of God, to be the actual church. The one that obeys the commandments of God is His child. I want you to turn to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 7 with me. 7:21 through 23. This is a familiar verse to all of us. 7:21 through 23. Know what that says there? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. How many people say that today? But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Do you know what it is to be lawless? To not follow this scripture. If you don't follow this scripture, that's lawlessness. And guess what Jesus is going to say to you? Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. All these denominations, and I don't mean to harp on denominations because I don't like them. I don't mean to harp on the world because I don't like them. I love everyone's souls. I love everyone, as we all should, Christians. But they're not following the commandments of God. And guess what? That's lawlessness. And guess what Jesus is going to say? Depart from me, I never knew you. It's not because I don't like them. It's not because we don't like them or don't love them. It's because their souls are in danger. They're in severe danger, and we as Christians have to help them. We have to help the people around us. They need our help. If you're not in the commandments, if you're not following those commandments, you're in danger. This scripture is what gives us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Why do we have to trail off from it? We don't. We don't need to. It puts our souls in danger. It puts our souls in jeopardy. In basically the snare of Satan. Why would we want to do that? Keep your soul clean. Keep it pure. Don't trail off from the scriptures. Don't get caught up in one verse and then cause division in the church. Stay within the scriptures. Stay within the context. Stay within what God wants you to do. Stay spiritually focused. Don't become like the Pharisees. Don't become like any of that stuff. Ritualistic or ceremonial. Christians, we worship in spirit and in truth nowadays. And they were too back then too. They just had a different set of laws. We're under the New Testament now. We have to realize these things. So are we following the commandments of God is the question this morning. John chapter 4, turn there with me. This is another familiar verse. Verses 23 through 24. John 4, 23 through 24. But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Go back to verse 21. Read that with me. Jesus said to her, now, go back to verse 20. I'd like you to read verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Verse 21, Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. And then we continue reading there. And what do we worship now? How do we worship? In spirit and in truth. You see, it's not about a building. It's not about a piece of wood. It's not about a piece of stone. It's about what? It's about the heart. It's about spirit and truth. Don't get lost, Christians. Don't get lost. Get your mind sorted out again, back spiritually. Stop thinking physical. Through Jesus' entire ministry, He was trying to get the Jews to look spiritually on things. Look spiritually on things. Jews, that's what He was doing. But they were so ignorant of those teachings. Christians, I hope none of us trail off like that and start thinking physically. Make sure that your minds are geared spiritually, that you're looking constantly on spiritual things, that you're thinking about the spiritual impact, that we worship in spirit and in truth, and that this worship here, God is not looking at the building. God is looking at the hearts of us. And He's testing us. He's not testing the structure of the building. He's testing us. Remember that. Don't forget it. Are we following the commandments of God is the question for us this morning. Many so-called Christians, they look good on the outside. But guess what? They come in worship services. They sit down. And they just come only on Sunday mornings, but they don't really care. They're just there. They're just here. And you say, "Preacher, that's a terrible thing to say. How could you say that?" No, no, no. Don't judge me. Ask God. Go to God. I'm not the one who gave this commandment to worship in spirit and in truth. Go to God and ask yourself, ask your own heart, am I worshiping in spirit and in truth? And am I here because I love my God? Am I here because I want to do God's will? Ask yourself that question. Ask God that question. Don't harp on me. Don't go to me. Go to God. He's the one that gave the law. I want you to understand this morning, Christians, that it's not by a man that we get the things that we have. It's by God. So ultimately, we are all subject to who? We are all subject to God for the actions that we choose, for the life that we choose, and for how we worship our God. We're subject to Him. Not to me, not to you, but to Him. So how we worship? You think God knows how we're worshiping this morning? You think He's able to see that in our hearts? Yeah, He can see it, and He's watching. Every single Christian across this entire world, He can see it. He can see all of our hearts. And if we're worshiping not in spirit and in truth, not by the heart, if we're just filling a pew this morning because we have to, God knows it. He knows it. And that's a challenge this morning, Christians, that I'm hitting you with. And it almost seems like it's an attack, but it's not. That's not what I'm trying to do. As a preacher, I have to convince, rebuke, exhort. That's what the command was. I'm trying to challenge us as Christians to be better. I'm trying to challenge us to save our souls, to get us all to heaven in the end. I'm not doing it because I don't like you or because I don't like me. I'm doing it because I love you, because I love the souls around me. That's why I'm doing this work. That's why we as Christians should be wanting to teach others also the truth, the people we see around us. So understand, I'm not saying these things this morning to attack you or anything like that. I love you. I love you, Christians. I love you, brethren, and I love the world as well. I want us all to be saved. And I know that you do too. But the last thing here is that the child of God is filled with faith. The child of God is filled with a faith that is so sure that nothing can stump it. And of course, we're not going to be perfect. Things will stump it at times. Really difficult times will come. And in those times, will we go against God? Will we question our God? Or will we stand firm in faith and resist temptation? Those things come up. Everyone has a different story in life. But the child of God is filled with faith. We mentioned Ezekiel this morning. Ezekiel was a prophet. He was in captivity, trying to preach to, ultimately, Judah. He was trying to get them to repent. He was trying to get them to turn back to God in their captivity. Because they'd been in idolatry, because they'd been committing fornication, because they'd been going to other nations. Israel was doing all kinds of things they shouldn't have been doing. And Ezekiel was trying to preach to them. And then God, basically, Ezekiel's wife died. And God says, don't even mourn for your wife. And guess what Ezekiel didn't do? He didn't even mourn for her. Because God told him not to. Ezekiel understood that God gives and God takes away. Ezekiel understood that it's about doing the will of God. And guess where Ezekiel is right now? He's in paradise because he was filled with faith, just as Abraham was, just as Moses was. These men, these women, like Ruth, they were filled with faith in God. Are we? Are we filled with faith this morning? Ask yourself that question. Ask yourself. I need to ask myself, am I filled with faith? These lessons are not just a challenge to you, brethren and friends. They're a challenge to me. We need to ask ourselves, are we filled with faith? Are we filled with faith as Christians? Are we filled with faith that God will deliver us in the end? And even now, Colossians chapter 3, verses 23 through 24. Let's turn there now. I'd like to read that text real quick. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. It's not from men. It's from God. What should we be focused on? We should be focused on God, not on men. Focus on God. Focus spiritually. Stop thinking about a building. Stop thinking about what this man said over here, what this woman said over here. Pick up your Bible and read it. It's that easy. It's that easy, Christians and friends. It's not hard. We got to stay within these Scriptures. James 1:12, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." When we endure, when we're filled with faith throughout this life, when we endure that temptation because we know God's going to deliver us in the end and give us those mansions that Jesus promised us in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, when He said, "I have prepared mansions for you. For as many as are coming in, I'm preparing mansions." John 14. Do we believe that? I believe it. I believe it today. I believe that Jesus has prepared me a mansion in heaven. Do you? Christians, do you believe that Jesus has prepared you a mansion in heaven? Amen? Amen? I wish I could get you to say amen louder. Jesus has prepared us mansions in heaven. And I hope you know that in your heart. Not just because I'm asking you it right now, but because you know it. That Jesus actually will carry this out in the end. Now, we're not going to be left as dust whenever we come from this, whenever we die in the end. Whenever we're on our deathbeds, that's not the last breath. We don't even need breath anymore because we're spirits now. Because we have spiritual bodies, and those are going to live on forever. We can't see it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We can't see the soul. We can't see heaven. We can't see hell. But by faith, we believe that these things are so. We know it as Christians. We know it that it's waiting for us. And that in the end, we're all going to meet God face to face in the end. So the child of God is filled with faith. Matthew 24:35. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Restated in Mark 13:31. "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." Jesus restates it, both of those books. Jesus' words, they're forever. They endure forever. So this scripture here that you see, this New Testament, all the gospel accounts, the epistles, Revelation, all of them, all of those, Christians, are what you need to be living by. Those are the scriptures that we as the church abide by and follow, even in our everyday lives. Not just when we come to church on Sunday. Not only at that time. How much time do we give to God in our daily lives? How much time do we give to God in our week? Ask yourselves that. How much time do you give to God? We should be growing, Christians. Not being lukewarm like the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. Do you remember that church? They were lukewarm. And Jesus rebuked them for it. Make sure that we don't become like that and that our hearts don't become like that in our everyday lives. And we're only showing up on Sunday mornings and that's the only time we ever give to God. How much time did God give to us? How often can we go in prayer to God? And then we only give one time to Him of our entire week. That's sad to me. I was once like that. That's sad. We need to give more time to our God. More time. Be focused on God. Make sure that God is in our lives every single day. So what we talked about this morning, Christians, and we're going to end here, is that the child of God is in Christ. The child of God is a true worshiper of God. He's following the commandments of God. She's following the commandments of God. And we're also filled with faith. Just as all the prophets were, just as faithful priests were in the Old Testament, just as all those faithful examples in the Old Testament were, and the ones in the New Testament were as well, Jesus was as well, filled with faith that God's going to deliver us all in the end. So are we filled with faith? Of course, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So we have to teach it to people. People have to read these scriptures. They have to read what's actually happened. They have to read these accounts, just as we have, by all these different writers who are all talking about one God, who talked about all those miracles that Jesus did. They gave those accounts. We just have to read them. We have to teach them as Christians. But Revelation 2:10, we have to remain faithful unto death, and we will receive that crown of life. If you are a Christian this morning, if you are struggling with anything at all, if you have any kind of need that you have, maybe it's for a family member, maybe it's for yourself, please do bring that before us. Please do help. Let us help you. Let your brethren help you. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you're not a Christian and you want to become a Christian this morning. Praise God for that. I hope you become a Christian this morning, because today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow, not the day before. Today is the day of salvation, the present. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as you've heard this morning. And that to be a child of God, it takes being in Christ. You have to repent of your sins, be willing to do that. And then confess Jesus is the Son of God before men, before all of us this morning. And then be baptized, as we also talked about, into this water. Not as some sort of ritualism, but for what it represents. To be remiss of your sins, to be obeying God. Because He told us to be baptized into water, to be immersed. That's why we do it. So we're remiss of our sins, we're added to the kingdom of God, and that's what happens when we're baptized. That's why it's necessary. And then we remain faithful unto death. Christians, friends, if you have a need this morning, please do come as we stand and as we sing. Thank you.